Today I'm going to talk about helping to hope. I want to talk about us being the church. I want to talk about we need to be involved. I'm going to talk about you need to be here on Sunday morning, not because I'm trying to build New Covenant Community Church. I am not. I'm trying to build God's church. There's been a big lie through the ages, and it seems to have taken place since COVID, that it's okay to just sit back and watch on TV. It is okay if physically you need to do it. I remember back when we used to stream, you know, we'd go over to the school, we'd do it, and I'd get home, and Melody would say, you know what, I get up every day, every Sunday, the streaming, I get prepared for church, just like I'm going to go there. I'm not going to sit there in my PJs. If you don't go to church, the devil's going to get a hold of you because he loves to isolate us. And what I'm going to talk about today is our need to look around and to see how God wants to use us. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. For God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Lord God, we thank you. Let us be unwavering in our faith. Lord, I am a super Christian when life is good, when everything is going my way, when my teams are winning championships, Lord, I'm just good. When there's oyster crackers in the cupboard, Lord, I'm just good. When life hurts, when I'm struggling physically, when I see loved ones going through it, when the finances are just hard. It's hard to be faithful. It's easy to listen to the voice of the evil one that whispers to us that you have been forsaken. Lord, I'm going to close this message by looking at verses from 139. Psalm 139 tells us, Lord, you know us. You knew me before I was in my mom's womb. It says that you know the words I am to speak before I'm even to say them. Maybe it doesn't feel outwardly that I'm noticed, Lord, but I know you always are with me. I know that you always love me, even during my high times and my low times. But Lord, today, let us engage. Let us look to give and not to receive, because we do live in a culture that really demands that our attitude is more, more, more. I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In your name, amen. You know, that reminded me, I was listening to Pastor Chuck Swindoll, and he told this story about, you know, the Bordens, like Borden's ice cream, etc. I'm talking about decades ago. The son, who was all primed to take the company over and be rich, all of a sudden he comes into a relationship with Jesus, and he's called to be a missionary in another country. And dad goes, if you do that, you're out of the will. So he goes, and I would really love to tell you, it was hunky-dory, but in a very short period of time, he died. From the world's point of view, what a waste. But they found some of the writings after he died, the joy he had. Because even if it's a struggle, when you follow what Jesus Christ is going to do, you're going to have hope, you're going to have peace, you're going to have joy. If you don't do that, you can't have hope. Oh, you can have some artificial hope, but without Jesus Christ, you won't have hope. I was listening to, I think it was Greg Laurie this week, and he's talking about famous people like Lady Gaga, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, top of the world, but yes, something is missing. You will always have something missing without Jesus Christ. Because each and every one of us has made relationship with Christ, so you can have all the money in the world that you want. You can be as successful as you want, but without Christ, it doesn't work. But today, let's go back to how we can motivate one another. You know, this week, God put something on my heart. It was my day off. And God said, you know, I got a friend, the family's going through some things. He said, I want you to go visit him. I don't know about you, but on a Saturday when I make that appointment, I feel good. But then my day off comes. And I wake up and you go, what was I thinking? So I get in the car and I drive a few hours, sit down, and all I did was listen. I had a cup of coffee. We asked questions, we told old stories and laughed. I didn't go looking to give him some grandiose words of wisdom where he would weep and just bow at my feet. In fact, let me give you a hint. When you're talking to somebody struggling, be quiet. Sometimes I watch when people pray for somebody struggling and they keep going and going. And going and going. That's not what they need. They need you to say, I love you. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. When I pray for somebody like that, I pray for them. Then I exit stage right because I know the Holy Spirit does a better job than I do. My brother, who lost his wife recently, we get together for coffee and stuff. I know it's different because I'm also his brother. We talk. I might meet him for lunch someplace and hey, you know, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. I'm kind of used to doing stuff like this, so, you know, I'm letting it grow. But I value times when God can use me to somehow bring comfort. And I know I'm just the vessel. When I obey God, it's all about obedience. If I obey God, then he moves. It's not about me. It's about him. So, you know, and a couple things happened to me recently. I was listening to a friend of mine. She taught in her church recently. She's an accomplished musician, fantastic worship leader. But she got up after years of struggling with depression, and she just told her story. You see, sometimes in church, we don't want to talk about mental health issues or emotional health issues. But she just told her story about how she struggled. Like, a lot of times I will use quotes from Charles Spurgeon, fantastic pastor. He really dealt with deep depression. And then recently, late last night, we got a text from a friend. Would you please pray for this situation? Because their friend is really going through a time of depression and tried to end it all. See, depression's real. Do I think I look out at New Covenant Community Church and say, you guys never get depressed. You guys never go through hard times. Gosh darn it, we love Jesus, so it's all okay. No, Hebrews writers say, God, we need one another. We need to be the church. We need to motivate one another. We need to move forward. We need to commit to advancing the plan of God in this place for his glory. I'm only putting scriptures up today. My point today is trust and obey, for there is no other way. Okay, we need to build hope. It says we need to hold tightly without wavering. We need to stay steadfastly with Jesus. You know, last week, Joe Melita spoke, and I like what he said. When you bring the gospel, you have people that are going to be indifferent. I might misquote them, but let me use my words. Some are going to be defiant. We've all been with these people. Some are going to be receptive. And let me know after the service, Joe, if I misquote you. But I think he said when you sit on the fence belongs to the devil. I've been studying about the parable of the sower. The first seed falls on the rock. Those are people that they don't even receive the word Jesus Christ. Then you have those that they fall in the rocky soil. We've seen that happen. They get loving Jesus, praise God, then they're gone 4.5 weeks later. But I think the third parable, the third seed, is something we all struggle with. That's where the seed falls among the thorns. And what the thorn represents is the cares of this world, the worries of this world, but also the pleasures of this world. I remember I used to think when I was a young Christian, if I really want to do something, it's never going to happen because God is moving. He just wants me to be in total purgatory, the rest of my life. Well, see, that's a lie from the enemy. But then I started giving my life to God and doing what he wanted me to do. And it's amazing how in some of the worst situations, I just had an inner peace and an inner joy that came from Jesus Christ. Let's not get overwhelmed by the worries of the world. Like this morning, there's some sound issues and some of the furnaces weren't working, but praise God, it's pretty warm in here. Because the enemy wants to distract us. And it's not that we don't deal with this stuff, but we trust God first. It's like the Borden guy. He lost millions of dollars. His life was cut short because he obeyed God, but you couldn't steal his peace. He was so happy because he was connected with God and doing what he wants. So we need to build hope. We need to stay steadfast with Jesus Christ. Holding tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. Now, the legitimate problems, broken relationships, people die, financial struggles, health concerns. I could go on and on and on, but we all face hardships. We all have a search for peace, but we need to make sure the foundation of your life and my life is the rock, Jesus Christ. You know, today I really felt like today's message that throughout the week, God just wants to give an encouraging message. It's not going to be deep, but it's going to be one of encouraging. But it's also one where I want you to step out of your shell. I want you to, like I have said this a million times, and I really think it falls on deaf ears. After church, pray, God, who do you want me to talk to? That group shouldn't stay seated there. That group shouldn't stay seated there. These groups shouldn't stay seated there. When I went to the church in Copenhagen, our church was the size of the chapel. I remember talking to this person saying, hey, do you know the person over there? I said, no. You've been in church together for 10 years, and if you spit, you're going to hit them because it's a small church. How do you not know them? So we started doing socials, and so God told me, you evangelize this church because they don't know what outreach is. So we started with ourselves. Years later, I go to a wedding in Beaver Falls. And after the service, I'm talking to this lady. I don't know. I told her what I did. You know, I pastored River Life Fellowship. She goes, hey, your church really loves one another. I said, thank you, Lord. Let's start evangelizing one another. Let's start looking around after church and say, who needs encouragement? They don't need your life story. I got to apologize to my home group, by the way. My wife let me know, you know the stories you told? They've been repeated. So I'm going to try to move away from talking about me. So when I'm listen, James says, be quick to speak and slow to listen. I don't think so. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. There's a lot of emotional challenges in life. There's a lot of mental health issues. And let me say, when I deal with stuff like that, I know it's above my pay grade. Then I send people to get the help they need to get. But we need to make every effort to remain faithful to Jesus Christ. As you stay steadfastly connected to him, he is going to use you. A lot of you think, God can't use me. Are you breathing? Then God can use you. I think one of the most powerful things of my ministry, I want people to look and say, God, if you can use him, you can use me. And I'm dead serious about that. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the living God pouring himself into me and me walking in faith and somehow touching other people. Because you, point number two, you are part of the plan to build one another's love. Verse 24, let us think of ways to motivate one another. That means you are engaged in ministry. You're not thinking about lunch. It's like on the way here, my tire pressure went on in the car, so I know when I finally leave, I got to put air in my tire. I'm not going to worry about that if God wants me to talk to somebody. It's cold. I got ice on my roof still. What if I get a leak? Okay, I'm not going to worry about that right now. So God is saying, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. If you notice somebody struggling, encourage them. Maybe God is showing you, hey, I haven't seen that person in church for quite a while. You know why he did it? He showed you that? Not for you to tell me. No. It's for you to give them a call. It's for you to drop them a text if you have their number. It's for you to send them a note. See, God doesn't put things in your scope of what's going on for you to come tell me about it. My scope is big enough. We have to realize God is talking to us. You know, I've said this a million times for New Covenant. We are to be a spiritual hospital. People are going to be high. People are going to be low. It's not going to be clean. It's not going to be neat. It's not going to be comfortable. But I want us to be a safe place where anybody with any belief, any lifestyle can come here, not with compromise, but to know that we love them the way that Jesus Christ loved Dick Beaumont in August of 1979, and somehow I heard his message and gave him my life. I was listening to Chuck Swindoll this week, and he's talking about he went skiing when he was younger. And he looks at the instructor and goes, I'm not going to fall once. And she just said, that'd be nice. 100 falls later, that she was so nice to me. Come on, you're doing good. You can do better. He said, and he knew that was a lie. I mean, he was miserable at it. But what she did with him, she spent the day with me. She helped me get up again. I don't know if you've been skiing, but if you fall, sometimes it is hard to get up. She encouraged him. She didn't go, oh my gosh, how much are they paying me? That's what we need to do. Let's pave the way with encouragement, which opens the door for us to talk to people. We're the church. We need to get involved in each other's lives, not just the people we like, not just the people we like, not just the people that we talk to that makes me feel good. Come on now, you know what I'm saying. Who do you minister to that costs you something? That's what I want to know. That's what God wants to know. That's where faith comes in. We need to look for ways to motivate one another to love and good works. What do you have to offer? You. You. You don't think God is big enough to use you? If he can use me, he can use you. But we need to demonstrate God's love to other people. My small group, we're going through the book of James, and we talked about favoritism. You get a rich guy that comes into church, you don't, you know, kiss his ring and fawn over him and put the poor person in the back. We say, oh, I'd never do that. Yeah, you do. The American church is really good at that. We talk to people that make us comfortable. We talk to people. I don't know them, so let me tell you. I was raised in a very private family. My personality isn't one where I enter the room and I just want to talk to people. My wife was raised in a very public family. Her parents had a bed and breakfast. We'd go to visit and they would easily have 8 to 10 people just, you know, come have dinner with us because they love people. So I become a pastor. I started going to calling hours and stuff. And I would have Melody go first. Not because I was afraid, but because she had a better way with people than I did. And I would watch how she interacted and what she said. And over the years, I got comfortable with it. So what I'm talking about favoritism is, it's easy for me to ask the church, talk to my friends, talk about sports, talk about whatever, but I don't think that's God. I've said this 101 times. Pastor Paul Wagner, who started this church, used to say when we used to meet at the, I think it was called Captain's Corps or Captain's Lounge, don't talk to anybody you know for 5 or 10 minutes. So we need to, after church is done, Lord, who do you want me to talk to? You don't know how your words are going to minister to people. And again, we're a small church, and I know you know most everybody, but what I'm saying is, look to give, not to receive. Talks about you come to church, some brings a hymn, some come to church having been prayed for the service and not say, oh, I hope they have good worship today. Oh, I hope the message is tolerable. You come to church and you say, Lord, how do you want to use me today? We don't come to receive. You don't come to church to receive. No. You come to give. You come to be expended by God because you are part of God's plan to build somebody else's faith. My third point is you need to encourage, encourage, encourage. A big part of my growth was people like Melody Dockstader who believed in me. People like Peter Mayer who believed in me. Hey, I want you to preach. I don't want to preach. He ministered to a church in Syracuse a few years ago. Hey, I want you to come minister with me. Nope, but I did. Why? Because when people believe in you, it makes you feel good. I remember once Debbie Grootman came up to me, this is 25, 30 years ago. Dick Beaumont, man of God, I knew she was trying to encourage me. She left, I felt better. I knew what she was trying to do, but I felt better. We need to minister life. Spouses, do not be critical all the time of your spouse. Speak life to them. My goodness gracious, my wife for 45 and a half years, well, we've been married 44 and a half, I don't know how to close a cabinet door. I don't know why. It's a blind spot. Thank you, Lord. Lately, I come back in the room and say, oh, I can do it before she gets here. Now, she laughs about it. But for 44 years, I will get something out of the kitchen cabinet and do this and do this. Then I leave the room, and they're all open. Now, what is that? But she doesn't say, hey, Dumbo. She just closes them and we go on our way. Spouses, speak life. In the 90s, Pete Mayer had us go to Rochester for a marriage retreat. I don't know if anybody was there. And there was this video they showed. And this guy, I don't know what country it was, you had to pay a dowry for your wife. Of course, it showed the fiance, and she was uglier than sin. So the guy goes, she's a one-cow wife. I'm going to give you 3 cows. What are you giving me 3 cows for her? Well, then he marries her, this 3-cow lady. And all of a sudden, she becomes a 100-cow lady. I mean, this lady was smoking hot. So they come back and say, wait a minute, you owe us some more money. He goes, I paid you what you want. In fact, I paid above. So what was the moral of the story? Build your spouse up. Don't make them cater to what you want them to be. That's called, God calls it stupidity, okay? In my marriage, I don't look to get ministered to by my wife, and she does a great job of that. Even if we had a miserable marriage and she treated me like dirt, I am called to minister to her because that's what faith is. Faith is doing what God wants you to do without looking to receive. When I talk about motivating people, I'm not saying you do it this way, looking to receive. We don't give here with our hand open. I give here knowing God's going to give me. But God, I'm in a terrible marriage. You want me to still love her the way you tell me to? I don't get a pass? No. We look to give. We don't look to receive. I'm not saying that we do not speak the truth in love. But what I am saying is I have learned I need to invest in somebody before I have the opportunity to really speak deep things to them. A lot of times I'll meet with somebody knowing what I'm going to say, but we sit down, usually around coffee, and God goes, no. So I don't. I just love on them and we talk. Then I make another appointment, and sometimes God said, yeah, no. So I keep meeting until finally I can lovingly tell them. And when I talk to somebody, it's I get underneath them and I lift them up. That's what love is. God corrects me, but he does it in a way that I know he loves me. It's not like the stern teacher that used to rap your knuckles. We grow together, people. That's why God has placed you in New Covenant Church, not to receive, but to give. I understand, as I said earlier, not everybody can attend church. I've even thought about, let's quit doing streaming. Then you kind of have to come to church. But I know there's people that can't, so we're not going to quit streaming. But let's not take the easy way out. God wants us to get involved. We will never reach our potential as a church or individually if we are isolated. That's never part of God's plan. You know, we all have different gifts, different personalities. Let's move forward together. Let's get involved. Let's come to church praying, God, who do you want to talk to today? Lord, I've had a bad week. Who can I really complain to? Somebody does that, just hit him in the head and say, quit being a sucky, whiny baby and minister to Jesus. Starting with me, if I do that. I talked to Joe Melita today. I'm glad he didn't do that to me. I'm glad we talked before the meeting and not after, because I probably have a smack upside the head. Oh, what are we talking about this year in New Covenant? Discipleship. Do you know we're in the end times? How do you know that? Because Jesus rose from the dead, and as soon as that happened, the end times are here. I know today I am closer to being in heaven forever than I was yesterday. So let's act like it, and let's really minister to one another. Just knowing what I'm talking about today is really nothing if you're not a kingdom builder. I started preaching in May of 1992. So I'm in home group, the second time I'm preaching, I think it was, and I'm nervous as can be. So there's a guy in my small group named Gil Trout. So he goes, this is what we're going to do. Tom, I'm going to say amen after he says something. Then you say, that's right. So then he goes, okay, now I'm going to say this, and Susie Q, I want you to say, praise the Lord, okay? Now I'm in on the conversation, so I know what they're going to do. So I say something, amen. That's right. So then Susie Q, it worked. I knew what they were doing, but it encouraged me that my group cared enough that they wanted me to get over my anxiety. Amen? Okay, you guys got it. So you know what I'm saying? Who does God want to use today for you to be a kingdom builder? Do you want to go to heaven? I know I do, and I want God to use me to encourage that person to go to heaven. But I can't do it sitting on my duff thinking about the life and times of Dick Beaumont. Faith means you let yourself be stretched. If you're not getting stretched, your faith is not growing. I'm sorry. That's not how it works. Faith is like a muscle. We gotta do this. Let me finish with these verses. It's kind of off track, but I really know the Lord wanted me to share this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. God loves you. I've been messing up. I've been falling into sin. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So he knows your sin. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. The point I want to make at the end is, I know what it's like to struggle with insecurity. I know what it's like to feel worthless and hopeless. I get it. But I know how awesome it is when we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. When we cling to him without wavering. And he tells us to do something, to reach out to somebody, and maybe your knees are going to be shaking. And maybe you're going to have sweat on your brow and your heart's going to be pounding. Ooh, that's great. Because that fear is showing you that God wants to use you and you can't do it without him. So let's close. Stay steadfastly connected to Jesus. God wants you to encourage others in their faith. God shows us struggling people so that we can help them. Commit to attending meetings. Do not get distracted. We need one another. Lord God, we come before you now. We are all significant in your eyes, Lord. Not when we're doing lofty things for you. Not when we are walking on water, feeding the multitudes. Yes, you're with us. You're with us always, Lord. You're with me when I'm struggling. You're with me when I am in a winter season of faith, Lord. When I pray, when I read, and I don't get a zing, I just feel alone. But I know that's a lie from the enemy. For your word tells me, O Lord, that you will never leave me. You will never forsake me. Let us know, Lord, that our actions don't bring us closer to you. That you love us the same at all times. But having said that, Lord God, you are calling us to be ministers for you. We're all called to be pastoral, to reach out to those that are down and out, to strike up a conversation with somebody we may not know well, even if it's just to say, hey, how you doing? But Lord, forgive us for the places where we cling to our comfort zone. Lord, we need to move past the conversations where we don't really have to invest because that friendship also ministers to us. Jesus, you were a friend of publicans and sinners. You were friends of prostitutes. You were the friends of the homeless people that are on the streets of Oswego that it is so easy for us to walk by without even looking. Forgive us, Lord. But thank you for today, Lord. That you have spoken to us. That you have said, I want you to look for ways to motivate other people in the faith. We're talking about discipleship this year, Lord, and I know that we can also disciple an unbeliever closer to the kingdom of God. Maybe they won't make the final leap, but with our love and investment, you can make headway, I should say, Lord. So I pray today, Lord, that our eyes wouldn't be on ourselves, but that I would say, Lord, here am I, use me. Here am I, send me. That young man named Borden, Lord, who gave up so much worldly good to follow you, and his life was cut short because of obedience. That seems kind of raw. But as they saw the writings of his final days, it spoke of such a joy of knowing he was walking your path, O Lord. For you're the only one that can give us complete hope. You're the only one that can give us peace in all situations. And Lord, there is no true lasting joy without relationship with God through Jesus Christ. So as I close, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Today's your day, for today is the day of your salvation. You just say, yes, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, I know Jesus is your son who died for my sins. But you need to know more than that. You need to say, Lord, I repent, which means I'm not living my life anymore. I'm going to turn around and live for you. As soon as you say yes to that, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have eternity in heaven with him forever. So, Lord, I do pray if there's anybody in this room that has not done that, that right now as I pray, they would just say yes. If you've done that, talk to somebody about it afterward. Lord, I pray for those that have been following you for quite some time, but they feel left out. They feel like they haven't measured up. They feel like maybe you favor others rather than them. Speak hope to them today, Lord. Let them say yes to you, Father God. Let us turn back fully to you today. Let us commit our lives afresh to you right now, Lord. Use us to minister encouragement and life to other people. Just move powerfully. In your name we pray. And they all said, Amen. Amen. Blessings, everybody.